Hey, one of the great sponsors of not this show, of just me and Deepu and Let's Start a Cult podcast in general is Soundbite. Go to the Soundbite app, Soundbyte. It's an amazing app where you get to share 14 seconds of audio, and they love our show so much that they've allowed us to produce a few series on Soundbite. Right now we have one where I made Deepu look up three-syllable words. So if you think he's an idiot during this show, go to the Soundbite app and look up Let's Start a Cult podcast, and you'll get to hear Deepu being a moron later this month. Or maybe you don't think he's a moron, but he has to look up all these big words I sent him. But we did other series. It's a really great app. Download it. It's a fun way to share audio. Soundbyte. Introduce the saga.
This is the Quiet Saga Decibel episode, Mike edition. Let me start over. This is Let's Start a Cult podcast. Quiet Saga, Decibel episode, Mike edition, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
He lands the dismount. I want to say this again at the beginning of episodes so that people know. Hello, welcome to Let's Start a Cult podcast, a podcast about groupthink or hack thought, things that we think that we don't take time to think about. But I also want to say, if I, in this show, ask Deepu to help me out of a river, it is not an inside joke. It is just a game that I do. You can play at home. It's not, you know, you just ask whenever you feel trapped in something or you just want to change topics or you just need a break from conversation. The people around you must pretend that you are stuck in a river. It is very fun to do and addicting. How are you doing?
I'm fucking furious with you. That's how I'm fucking doing.
I know. I got you a little bit riled.
Yeah.
This is when I start to have fun, though.
Is this the turn of the fucking podcast? Is this when friendship ends? I thought we were building up here. I thought you're my best friend.
We're colleagues. I still think that we're colleagues who are becoming good friends. This is a job.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be clear. Our job is here to entertain people.
Listen, I don't want to be your friend, but it's happening.
What do you think that makes your friend? Are people under the... Okay, I don't want to get into it. Okay. So, this week, I have a topic that is definitely groupthink, and I want to go right into our first segment, which is We Didn't Take a Survey. Let's bring in that theme right now. So, We Didn't Take a Survey is when we put out a thought, and then I assume everyone thinks it, and then we eventually do take a survey. But right now, we have no stats and no information on a piece of groupthink. Deepu, can you guess what my thing might be? I mean, you can't, but I would like three guesses from you.
Oh, it's got to be something you're furious about, a common object that shouldn't be there. That seems to be...
What do you think? I'm just improvising? oh, man, I can't believe tissues are...
No, well, you were mad at urinals.
Okay, so object elimination. It's a good guess. It's a good guess. Could you name one... it's not right, but it's a good guess. It's a good guess for what the show is usually about. Could you name one object that you think maybe I have a problem with? Just name the object.
Certain types of lampshades.
Love it. Love it. It's a great guess. It's a great, knowing me, it's a very good guess about me.
That's why awesome. Should guess they be metal? Who has a metal lampshade? Me.
This sounds exactly like me. He's got my thoughts to a T. Okay. Only two guesses because I'm getting bored of this. Number two, second guess.
You think a certain question that people ask each other should never be asked.
That's a good one. We've done that one before. Always a good question. I'm not even going to ask you what it is. No. Wrong on all accounts, but I set you up to be wrong, so it can't be your fault. Pessimism and optimism.
This one
has been bothering me for a really, really long time. I want to say this to people in the world. First of all, pessimism and optimism, before we get into my problem with this, is most of the time pessimism and optimism, although a complicated life philosophy and life view, is often taught to us by an idiot. Do you remember the first time you heard about pessimism and optimism?
Optimism is probably something my parents probably tried to instill. Like, oh, they're making fun of you? They're just being your friend. They're just making fun with you.
Nonsensical. A nonsensical kind of lesson. They said the word optimism?
Well, the overall lesson was just
no,
be happier.
That is not what I goddamn asked you, Deepu.
Where I don't remember. No, I don't remember
learn
when I was
you don't
taught.
Remember. Yeah. Well, of course, you know why you don't remember? Because nobody teaches it seriously. I bet for the majority of our audience, people learned it with someone explaining the expression, is the glass half full or half empty? Which, of course, is a lesson taught by a moron. Like, who gives a shit if a glass is half full or half empty? It has nothing to do with life philosophy either.
But it's two different ways of describing the same thing. That's... the lesson.
Fucking
there, right?
Nonsense. But I mean, that's an interesting way to say two different things, two different ways to describe the same thing. But that is how most people hear about that life philosophy, mm-hmm. and it's pretty stupid way of doing it. Now, the even stupider thing that, in my opinion, is stupid that keeps coming out is that pessimism is a bad thing. And I don't know where it started, and I don't know why it keeps coming up. I mean, obviously, my war on inspiring people, you know, is – I really don't – if you don't know this, I don't know why people are trying to fucking inspire me. Like, cut it out. I'm inspired. I don't know – so I think it comes from there a lot because optimism for the real idiots who are people that try to motivate people – it's easy to explain optimism as to, you know, get up and do whatever, be optimistic. But, like, a lot of times people will say that they are being optimistic when in reality they're using pessimism. So what do you think the difference is between optimism and pessimism?
The difference, I think, between optimism and pessimism is that people who are optimistic are just – they glaze over negativity. They just – they always highlight in their minds the best thing that's going on. And then – hold on, let me. I don't know. What's the other word? Pessimism? Pessimism is just you're always downing yourself. You're being as pragmatic. Wait, no. I'm just so off the ball right now. I don't fucking
care.
Okay,
well, I think that you've answered exactly how I would think people would answer and how I think you would answer. 100%. 100%. Here's what it is that people use this word and don't really know what it fucking means. So here's what I'll
say that
about.
A lot. That's an issue that comes up all the time. You know, we're saying a word, we don't know what it means. But when I look it up in the dictionary, you're like, that's not how you look up words. And then people
you
just get
frequently don't know how to look up words. I want to throw that out there. You frequently don't know how to look up words. It's a big issue on the show. Deepu will – okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't want to get into it today. Okay. The thing is that there's this certain thing out there that says people who are optimistic are the only people that are happy with what they have and that pessimists can't be happy with what they have. But either way, when somebody says they're optimistic, they very rarely understand what pessimism is, and they always describe it as a negative, which of course you should. It's like, you know, two different sides to a coin. You are supposed to be taking somewhat of a side. But pessimism is great. I myself am a pessimist. I genuinely believe that. All it means is, you know, in my eyes, is preparing for the bad, and when something good happens, wanting more. That's what it means in its best light. And a lot of times these people that are like, be optimistic and all those things, you know, make sure good things are going to happen. Well, like, that's not really what optimism is. Optimism says you're happy with whatever happens because you're optimistic. You find the good. The pessimistic person is actually wanting more happiness. They want more than what they have. But I'm so confused as to why people talk about pessimism as if it's this horrible thing. It's just two sides of the same thing. Like, I think, like, what do you think, what is the negative of pessimism? Like, in your mind, Deepu, with someone that says something pessimistic, like, how are they acting?
Someone that's acting, or someone that is pessimistic, usually comes off to me as, like, very just down in the dumps, like, always highlighting the negative, like, you know, woe is me, my life is, you know, terrible. I only have, they're only talking about the bad things that are going on.
Are their lives terrible, though?
I mean, relatively, no.
But if that's how people's lives get better, mm-hmm. why do we care? That's the first thing I have to ask, is that some people just aren't fucking motivated by being like, everything's good.
Can I ask you're seeing all this inspiration that you're talking about? Is this like
Social media is a big part of this.
Okay, so we can talk about social media optimism, right? Okay, so I think it's...
Well, I don't think... I want to say this. I don't think people that post or buy pillows that say that's the original version of this, you know, buying pillows that say shit on it, uh-huh. you know, I don't think those people are thinking at all. So engaging with them, I'd rather engage with Deepu Gill, who's a smart person. I would not rather engage with the person that buys a pillow that says, tomorrow's going to be, tomorrow, today is the first day of the wonderfulness.
Yeah, hate those
I can't, things. I'm not going to talk to that person because that's the original version of these Instagram posts. If you post on Instagram, you're like, The you are is the you that will be that is the happiest you of shut up. Shut the fuck up.
And it's
like,
an easy way to go.
That's the same as buying one of those stupid pillows. You are the same person. I want to let that know. Just because you're doing it on a phone and it seems really cool doesn't make you, if you post something on the internet that says something overjoyous and stupid, you're not cool because you did it on a phone. You are the exact same person who buys pillows with expressions on them that are cheesy and stupid.
Or even worse, you're the human version of that pillow.
No, because I don't want to. I don't want to say that's too much. Even comparing someone to a pillow is great. Pillows provide comfort. You are the because it's not analogous. You're trying to make a jump that isn't there. I'm saying pretty fucking directly. If you enjoy pieces of media, i.e., pillows or posts on the internet that have these happy, jolly, say nothing mottos on them, that is the same activity.
I agree with you completely, but...
So people need to start looking at themselves in terms of just being cool. I don't mean to be like a cool person here, which I'm not, but you look super lame. You are this. Just think about if you're really cool anymore, because if you post something like that, it's the same activity as having those pillows. Think about every post you have on social media. If it was in a room with pillows on it, would you come off as someone with cool photos on their pillow, or would you come off as someone's aunt that has way too many pillows with mottos on them, or uncle?
Yeah, I don't like those channels either, but there's more, it gets better engagement.
Well, but my point is I'm not going to engage with how we view those people. That's how they are. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about optimism and pessimism, because I think I can actually talk to you. I can't talk to a person that's not here. I'm not going to have an argument with a third entity that doesn't exist.
All right. So let's talk about it. What do you think I am on the spectrum? Am I optimistic? Pessimistic?
I wouldn't know. How would I know?
I mean, we've spoken.
It's a life philosophy. How would I know?
All right. Well, I'm pessimistic, typically.
Yeah. I am as well pessimistic. Yeah. And all it means let me hear what you're going to say.
But I try to be optimistic when I need to. I kind of channel it like, oh, I'm in a rut.
Let's talk about the pessimism first so people can see the good of pessimism.
Okay, sure. I think so I'm pessimistic, and I think it helps me because I'm being honest with myself, and I see the truth around me. I'm not obscuring my vision of the world with optimism, which I think is, you know, what optimism does, right? It's just like a lens.
I mean, yes and no. Does it? I don't necessarily think either one is wrong. I think that if you're optimistic, you see the truth of the world, you just accept it as good enough. Or that's honestly the pessimist in me saying you call it good enough, because a pessimist would say you should want more. You should want more for yourself. But you see the world as good. You see it always as good, no matter what happens. Great philosophy, but it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone to say, I don't think it clouds your vision. I think a very smart optimist, you know, let's say you try to cook something and it comes out shitty. A good optimist says, you know, this isn't great. And they think about how good it is right now and if it's edible at all and enjoying the qualities of it that are good. A pessimist would say, I should have done these different things. I will do these different things in the future. But they can still enjoy the fucking food.
I don't think the pessimist can enjoy the food. The pessimist would throw the food against the wall.
Of course they can. Of course. No. See, this is where the stupidity comes in. Mm. Just not being totally satisfied doesn't mean that you don't get any satisfaction. You know, there's a different way to view it. An optimist essentially is trying to suck all of the happiness they can get out of one experience as opposed to a futuristic experience. Or the pessimist would have been more prepared. The pessimist would have been that's a problem, is we try to explain these philosophies in the present, but they don't work that way. Especially, that's why pessimism ends up looking shitty. Because if you're a pessimist, you look forward into the future. You go, look, I can't cook. I'm going to try and cook French fries. And so you're going to say, look, I'm probably going to screw up whatever oil it is. So I'm going to look up what oil it is, or I'm going to screw this up. So I'm going to buy a small potato and do that first. Or I really don't understand when a potato is done. So I'm going to buy a meat thermometer. Those were all pessimistic moments up until the final frustration. It's that's why optimism always looks better, because in the present moment, if I'm like, here is these French fries. Here are am French fries. Here is with these fries hammers, and you eat them and they're shitty. The pessimist is going to end that moment be less happy than the optimist. But the pessimist might have said, we should have looked up how to clean them better in the past. The pessimist probably avoids circumstances like that more because of its growing pessimism.
So what do you think people generally, where do you think they fall? Like, is there an average? Are they in the
middle?
No,
again, you decide that by thinking about something, this is a huge part of groupthink, is you decide that by me thinking about something, I understand people. I don't understand people. I understand when someone says something incorrect, and so I'm trying to bring a different light to it. You know, I'm not going to know what someone thinks in their heart, and quite frankly, I think people are confused about it. I think most people that think they are optimists are pessimists. I think that's what I'm seeing right now. If you say tomorrow's going to be a better day, that's an optimist. If you say I'm going to make tomorrow better, that's a pessimist. That's a pessimist saying that tomorrow's going to suck, I'm going to make it better. That's a pessimist. And that's what a lot of people who claim to be optimists say. Why do you think you're a pessimist?
Well, I notice I have a very negative outlook, so that usually isn't a trait of someone who is...
But what do you mean by negative?
You know, so like recent example, I bought the glasses I didn't necessarily need, and I had like this. That's not a good example. I don't know. I'm a pessimist. I'm a pessimist. I don't look at the positive in things, or I don't focus on the positive in things. I don't have a good example. Do you have a good example? There you go. That's an example. I don't have a good example. I don't know how to think of examples. I'm terrible.
What was the last thing you got upset about?
Not
including this recording. That was just we always upset each other.
No,
talk.
Right. Yeah.
What was the last thing that you did and you were dissatisfied with the experience?
Oh, I had to get some paint cans from Home
Depot.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. Let's talk about this before we end. Why have you been fixing shit?
Why have I been fixing shit? So I live. My landlord has been hiring me for just help.
Why?
Because
I'm
a good handyman.
What did you trick him with to make him think you can
I'm
do
good
these
with tools.
Things?
No, you aren't. Yes, I am.
Wait,
you're very handy.
You fixed a doorknob, you were telling me, I guess, at one point? Fixed a door?
Yeah, I've installed some doorknobs. I have installed doors.
And that was, which number doorknob was that for you?
Which number? That might have been like 7 or 8. I've installed a fair number.
7 or 8, you're definitely pretty handy at this point.
Well, yeah, you've installed 7 doorknobs. Wait, no, that's optimism. You know, I think I've installed enough doorknobs to handle the next doorknob.
But see, you probably are a fucking optimist.
You
came at me with, I've installed 7 doorknobs. I'm great at installing doorknobs. You reassured your optimism. I put pessimism into you. I was like, you're not fucking good at installing doorknobs.
Well, why are you
coming
at me? You haven't even seen my doors. You haven't even touched my
doorknobs.
I'd love to.
Show me your knob.
I'd love to. You can just
grab it. So you've been fixing. You showed him all your. You have a portfolio. You come into your landlord's office. You go look at these doorknobs, and he goes, "Deepu, this is what I've been looking for." You know.
Listen, it's a very low budget scenario. They don't want to spend a lot of money. I don't ask for a lot of money. They don't want to
hire
a pro.
But why are you doing it? I don't understand.
I need
why
some
you're
side cash. It's like when ladies babysit or people babysit.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh yeah, there you go. You covered yourself. So, what? How did this even come about?
It's not
crazy for me to say that somebody who runs a media company, it's very odd that somehow you've gotten involved in installing doorknobs to the point where we can't have conversations. Like, that's odd. And you also, like, definitely lied to me then about when you were installing shit and why you were installing it. Were you embarrassed by it?
Maybe I was covering it up. I forget that day, but I was...
Yeah, that's the sign of an optimist. Like, a pessimist would outwardly be like, this thing is lame, this sucks, or this version of it. An optimist actually might come out more and say, no, like this is great because it's this version or that version of it. Like, the version I want to project and kind of, not pretend, but focus on. That's an optimist. Fine way to live. Mm-hmm. But a pessimist would say... Yeah, I don't fucking know. Like,
so anyone
I have
that
to do
makes
these...
anything up just to kind of
It's not making up.
It's like when
it's
I go
not,
to Starbucks.
It's not making up at all.
Like
it's the reality you want to live in. It's when you go to Starbucks. Okay, listen, everybody, we've fired up the time machine. It's 2001. Deepu, what stand-up bit are you going to do about this new thing called Starbucks?
Okay, well.
Oh my God, it's so weird. The coffee's more than a fifth of therm.
Oh my God, the drink names are so long. The Coke.
Oh my
Mocha,
God, it's 2001. Mocha-china. Can you? It's 2001. This is the millennium. But what are you going to say about Starbucks? What's it like going to Starbucks? Everyone listen up. Deepu's got a great commentary about Starbucks. Go ahead.
It's like when I, a guy with a bizarre first name, goes into Starbucks and says, hey, and they ask what my name is for the drink name because they got to write your name on the drink, right?
Yeah.
I make something up. I just say my name's Jim or something. What is that? Optimism? That's not.
It's racism. It's because they're racist and you feel uncomfortable in a white person's world.
Maybe I'm just. No, well, it depends how you look at it. I'm just saving time.
Look at it as pretty racist.
It's pessimism in my lack of faith in society, but it's optimism in the fact that I'm saving time and I'm just getting over some bullshit.
I'm not sure I'm qualified to tell you what this is because my analysis of it from the outset is it's because people are racist and you've felt that in your life.
No. So, people just don't know how to read foreign names and, you know.
Okay. So xenophobic?
Xena unaware.
Well, I would say they are living in a world which is xenophobic and therefore less opportunities.
Listen, how about
to
this? You name your
one of the most common names in your language.
You name your kid something weird according to the culture that they're going to be raised in, and just see how they handle it. See how they go.
What are you doing right now? I was agreeing with you.
I don't know. I'm just getting defensive.
I was saying that's what you're doing. I was saying you're trying to handle living in a world that doesn't accept foreigners or different races. I was agreeing with you. I don't know if that's optimism or pessimism. I think that is a sad fact of America. I don't know that that's optimistic or pessimistic. So it's not a great example. It's a very sad example, but it's not. Jeannie, I think you need to talk to a leader of your culture to explain that to you. I don't think I'm the person to say, Jibu, here's how you should feel about the fact that people that work in Starbucks don't know what are the most common Indian names.
Whatever. Let's think of a better example.
Let's think of a better example. So you were talking about covering things up that you might living in a version of reality. That's something an optimist does.
Well, I think you have to live in a. You have to make. Okay, so I think there are circumstances that people have to deal with. There's no real solution.
Oh, you say this a lot too, like that everyone's in this Peter Pan world where we have to pretend the food tastes like stuff. Like that's weird.
No, I don't. I don't think. I think it's. Well, let's take a more realistic example. Instead of me pretending vegetables are Lucky Charms, that's not. You know, again, not the greatest example to use. Probably.
This week. He's decided this week that's not good logic, everyone. Last week, it was a great example. But this week, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
But wait, so, maybe it is a good example. Hold on.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The goddamn vegetables and cereal bowls again. I can't take it.
No, never mind.
No, go. I like people to hear this craziness. So Deepu, explain the whole thing.
Okay. So a mental trick I explained on a prior episode was
a mental trick, everyone. This is not anyone that started writing this down thinking it was a BMX or skateboard trick. Put your pens down. This one's a mental trick.
Yes.
Okay. Mental trick.
Where you eat vegetables and you pretend the food is something else to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those
of you who have studied the culinary arts, who would think of maybe salt or seasoning to fix this issue, a 1,000-year-old tradition, fuck you. That doesn't work. What does work is make-believe.
Yeah. Why waste money on salt? Why waste money on pepper?
Why waste money on salt? Why waste money being sane? It's fine. Just pretend it's different.
You know, you're making fun of me, but I'm just on board more and more. On board more and more.
So I think that's something, although I don't think that's anything anyone can relate to. I think that is a version of optimism. I think that that is, in my mind, that's what optimism is. It's just zoning out the parts of your reality that are not relevant and therefore might make you happier to zone out. I think a pessimist absorbs everything in the situation and it might make them less happy, you know, about the present situation, but in the hopes, you take all that stuff in the hopes that you will like it in the future. An optimist would do whatever crazy thing. Why am I even entertaining that? No one would do whatever Deepu just said with the vegetables and the cereal. But an optimist might say, like, oh, these kind of taste like, well, now I can only think of other cereals because of your craziness. This is how it gets inside.
I got a way to tighten up the example. Okay, you have vegetables.
But hold on. I want to finish my example. But an optimist might say, these taste like this thing, so I'm going to kind of, you know, focus on it tasting like this thing. Or they might say, I like the colors. I'm going to focus on the colors and not the taste, or I like the smell and not the taste or whatever. A pessimist would say, you know, how can I make this taste better? I think a pessimist takes the route of, if you've ever heard this thing, Deepu, which is to eat something five times and then you like it. I don't know if it's real, but I've gotten there with olives and chocolate and coffee, and those are some of my favorite things now because I am a pessimist and I push through, saying that I think I can learn to enjoy this thing.
That's great.
What's your tighter example?
You know what? It's stupid. I'm not even going to say it. You're just going to yell.
I'm not going to yell at you. I promise.
Here's the optimism. Hopefully he doesn't yell at me. How about that? Is that better? Wait, no, that's not better.
What was your example? It's not better. What was your example?
Okay, it's a world where you have... It's just a brief moment in time. A brief moment in time.
In a brief moment in time.
Where you have vegetables to eat. Ready to
where
eat.
Where you have vegetables to eat.
But there's no seasoning on the planet.
But there's on the whole planet devoid of seasoning.
How do you do it? How do you handle it? How do you get through that suffering?
I like vegetables. I don't know what you're fucking talking about. On a planet with no seasoning, I would probably enjoy it and not know about seasoning and would probably just eat it. And also shit would probably be really fucked up if the whole culture of cooking had disappeared.
I mean, maybe we just appreciate vegetables more. Like what? You said. I don't know. I think we just appreciate, I don't know. We need seasoning.
What would
you're
you
right.
do? Wait, what would you do on this seasonless, coming this fall to theaters near you, seasonless planet? What are you doing? This David Attenborough presents Seasonless Planet.
We are a tortured people.
Using CGI. David Attenborough presents a world in which vegetables have no salt on them.
I heard of a legend of rosemary. Turmeric. They say there's pictures of turmeric on the walls.
Turmeric, where there's dinosaurs and seasoning. What would you do in this seasonless planet, Deepu? I'm genuinely curious now.
I would close my eyes, bite into the food, and just like imagine crazier flavors.
You wouldn't be able to imagine them.
No.
Or else you would make them.
Mm. All true. Well, maybe I would devote my life to
discovering
seasoning.
How would you imagine salt if you never tasted salt?
Well, I said a brief moment in time where spices are just not in the world. So, like, world ran out for like 5 minutes.
So it was not the David Attenborough movie. It was the original sort of big action movie I described.
Right. Let's do it again. Terrorist grabs all the
salt.
Hold on.
Stop. Let me do the whole.
Die Hard 7.
In the year 2042. Sir, there's an incident. Boom. President opens up. Big room. There's been an incident over in Kamajahuzafwing, this country that we all know, and they've got all the seasons hostage. And then the wife bursts in. Please, no, not my husband, garlic salt. And then boom, big explosion. No one
the
knows
black
what to
pepper
do.
Silo's empty. Shit,
my God.
It's been 10 years.
Now in 2052, one man, Deepu Gill, goes on a journey to find something to eat.
Yo, where does this come from, man?
And then he finds it, and it's a vegetable, which he knew about before. And so now, as the salt and pepper shakers travel through space and time to return to Earth in time before Deepu eats this piece of Brussels sprout. What are you going to do? Now, what are we seeing in the preview?
I'm starting an underground society where we collect...
Shut the fuck up. All right. What? But you just said... So then your solution to it is cooking.
Probably.
Okay.
Maybe
so
a char broil.
So then I don't know how we got this far afield from optimism, but...
I don't know either. But you let me ride with it, so... You could have shut it down, but you didn't. I applaud your optimism there.
All right. And now, a few special things from our We Didn't Take a Survey segment. This is where we don't take surveys when we surmise people think this way in a group or hack thought. And here's some people answering questions that we did survey with. Up first, the Jupiter Boys.
Okay. Hey, this is Jupiter Boys, Jim and Quinn Jupiter, and we're going to do the Let's Start a Cult we didn't take a survey.
That's right. Okay. That's what we're going to do.
So, question one. We shouldn't get upset about people making fun of our mothers, yo mama, etc. Example, our moms are full-grown adults, e.g., our moms are full-grown adults, and they likely don't know our moms, the people that are doing the insulting.
Right. Okay. I agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yes.
Do you think, like, we should all just man up and just say, like,
yeah,
my mom, this isn't true. I know that, like, this person did not fuck my mom last night. I don't know why I'm getting so worked up
about
it.
This is valid. You did not. I know that for a fact. I was with her.
Wait, did you? Did you?
Are you a ninja? I was with her the whole night. How did you do that?
Second, the crew from NWP, Nerds Without Pants.
We should eliminate urinals. I'm down for that.
No. No.
So here's the thing. I've got like a real like big bathroom thing as far as like public bathrooms. Like I use the stall even if I just have to pee. Okay. I hate urinals. Like I find it really weird that guys are so like jazzed to whip it out in front of strangers because like you'll go into that situation where it's like a dude is using the stall to pee but he doesn't close the door. Because he just wants to know that you're peeing, or he wants you to know that he's peeing, and it's like, dude, it's a door. Like, you have privacy. Why, you know, why did you need to leave that open? Like, no one wants to see that.
Dude, Texas is weird.
I've seen it in places other than Texas.
No, I've never seen any of what you're describing happen, ever. Unless there was something wrong with the person. I mean, look, so... We got the urinals. The urinals, okay, so I will go to a stall if the urinals don't have the little dividing wall and there's other people there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
As long as I can, like, belly up to the thing and do my business, I don't care.
Right.
That's fine. It saves water. It's good. As long as people obey bathroom code and don't, like, look at me or talk to me because worse. Okay, right. Small talk in an elevator, bad. Small talk while I'm trying to pee, I'll murder you. No.
Yeah, but most of the time you're right. You can like shade yourself away from the other people that are peeing at the urinals, or like take one of the ends, or have a buffer urinal, or something like that. Like, I don't know if I ever peed next to somebody in a urinal, except for like a large sporting event where like you're not gonna go to the bathroom if you don't do that. I mean, you'll wait like so much longer at a sports event if you go like it just in a stall sometimes, and so you just whip it out real fast and go and don't think about it. But if someone's not obeying the bathroom code, that is just, it really freaks me out sometimes. And I
also, those urinals that are just a long trough, have you ever seen those where the water flows down them and there's no, those are hell no.
Wrigley Field has
those
them.
Are not okay under any circumstances.
My last job had the urinal right next to the sink with no divider. And that was a major nope. And one of my favorite things that I did before I left there was suggest that, hey, maybe we should put a divider there. And they did, and it was wonderful.
Hmm. Yeah, Wrigley Field has troughs, and I've definitely peed in those since I was a kid. But, like, it is the weirdest experience you got. It's kind of like being at the game, though.
Well, Wrigley Field is a classic stadium.
So you got to go in the trough.
I guess, but also no. I would go in a stall in that situation.
And lastly, the wonderful Alice Little, who's from the Bunny Ranch, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Las Vegas. For sex things, in sexliness.
Number three, people should enjoy / do more small talk.
Absolutely. Why in the world are we not talking to each other? We have language and it's such an amazing tool. The next time you get coffee, rather than just saying thank you and walking on your way, ask your person how the day's going. Ask them something personal about themselves. Make a comment about a bracelet they're wearing. Something. Just try to connect with each other a little bit more. There's no reason to be so isolated in society. We already are so disconnected compared to years prior because of all the technology we have. I think it would be an excellent idea for people to set their phones down, look up, and interact with whomever happens to be in the room.
I agree with you all except for setting your phone down. I have a great one. I like to brag about tweets because, again, very narcissistic. One of my better tweets is make sure to silence your phone during a movie. That way, if one of your loved ones gets in a fatal accident, you won't know until 2 hours later. So that's my one little tidbit on people putting their phones down is they are very, very useful.
Our guest for this episode is the Melissa Diamond, who is of He Said What podcast. We had a lovely talk, and then I got into the idea of really getting down to groupthink and generalizations, and now the lovely and very funny, and I assume has a good ability to... Melissa was subject to something, if you've ever messaged me on social media or anywhere, is letter switching. So I do this all the time. So if you say Melissa Diamond, I will say Delissa Mimond. A Mimond sounds like a French, like a specialty French sink that you can get installed. We got a Mimond. It's of course made of oaks and ants. Oh, we got a Mimond. It's made of beetles and bamboo. That's their thing. They make sinks out of bugs. Let's listen to Melissa Diamond instead.
Vibes is a whole other minefield that I don't know that any... There should be a whole podcast committing to where the word vibe... How that keeps happening.
Yeah, who started the word, like, who started good vibes or bad vibes? Like, I'm so curious.
Oh, it's the same people that think, oh, so let's get to this. This was earlier, good vibes and bad vibes. A dirty look. Oh, we got to stop doing this one. Melissa, there's no way you can tell from the way someone's thinking at you or looking at you what they're thinking about you. There's no such thing as a dirty look.
Well, this is the thing. There is called the up and down. This is something between woman and woman that I can guarantee you every listener can relate to.
Wait, hold on. Melissa, I need to prepare them. So Melissa is an expert on women now. So all women, get ready. Okay.
I have a vagina, so all I can say is I know how a lot of other women with
vaginas I don't generally go for, well, like, I'll put this into there. Any generalization of people, I'm going to call out as really not sounding incredibly thought out.
Okay, so maybe, like, I don't want to look like an asshole also. Like, let's keep that in mind, too.
Yeah.
So how can we, like, rephrase this in a way where I can...
No. This is good. People will like this. You won't look like an asshole. But I'm saying, okay, if you want to talk about an experience that you think is happening to you, Go ahead. I'll leave this all in. Don't worry. I'm just saying how I feel about the language itself. I'm saying it because I don't think ever, you know, the point of the show is that I say something and maybe people disagree with me. Maybe they tell me I'm totally off the mark. You know,
right.
That's the point of it. It's not going to be interesting if I just, you know, those podcasts, the nod
trust
and
me,
fucking
I get
say
that.
Yes shows. I don't want to be that. So what I'm saying is, like, for example, I'll throw this out for you after this story. You know, that I want to address. I believe demographics are racist and prejudice, and like they're sort of modern day eugenics. That's like a thought that I have about, that's how far my thoughts go about generalizing people. But I'd rather stick on dirty looks. So that's how, where I'm coming from with, I don't think I'm already going to be against someone that says, you know, like it's when people go 18 to 35 year olds, you should market to them. I'm between that demographic. I'm the cheapest person I know. I know people over 35. They buy Xboxes like they're a sandwich coming home from work. They'll be like, yeah, I got a new Xbox One. I'm like, what? For me, if I were to get an Xbox One, it would be a whole event. I would be like lighting candles, sensual oils, turning off my phone. I would be talking to people about it, telling them where I am to be safe. Like, and the people would just be like, yeah, so I went yesterday and I bought a PlayStation 4. It's like, what? Like, you're getting nachos.
Literally, I've actually, like, one of my old coworkers, we were walking home from work one day, and he's like, can I just pop into the store and see if the new whatever game is out? I was like, what? You're like...
That's not a big moment for you? A $60 purchase is not a big moment for you? Those are huge moments for me. So anyway, when you're talking about women, I am always going to point out that I think sometimes... I never want people to speak for their gender or race or creed or religion when they don't want to be doing that. I won't ask someone who happens to be black a question about black issues and force them to comment on it. But at the same time, I am going to point out when someone says women do something and saying, okay, well now we are speaking for women. So, but I still want to hear this experience because I don't think dirty looks are a thing. So there's a thing you've experienced, you're saying, with other women.
Yes, I've experienced this, and I also will play devil's advocate because I agree with you in a sense as well, because I have been told I have rusty face, and that doesn't mean I'm giving you a dirty look. I'm just lost in my thoughts. But anyway, back to the story. So
wait, as a sufferer of RSB, RBF, excuse me.
That's not the up and down. Those are two very, very different things.
Well, but you already have identified a phenomenon in which the face is not conveying the thoughts. So therefore, we can surmise before this conversation even starts. that it is possible, scientifically.
Okay, fair. Okay. So the up and down is when you're walking on the street and a woman with a very mean look on her face looks you up from your shoes to your head and then back down and then looks at you with disgust.
Now let me ask you a question. How do you know they're not just constipated?
It's all in the eyes.
That's where, but if someone were to ask me, how do you know someone's constipated? I would say it's all in the eyes.
Yeah, but if I'm constipated, like, I feel like you can just see that, like, in the uncomfortability of my face. Like, I wouldn't be, like, concerned about what someone was wearing if I'm constipated.
What if they're just looking? There's nothing to fucking look at. What if they're just, looking around and they might already suffer from RBF and they just happen to look you up and down because you're wearing things and there's nothing to look at and New York is a gray, horrible place covered in urine with 1,000-year-old buildings that don't really look particularly good and so they just want to look at something. And so for 0.5 of a second, they're going to look at your shoes, your pants, and your shoulders. Is that so much to ask in this rough world?
You know what? Maybe you're right, but I still feel that this is a real thing for me personally.
Let's go into that. What when you see, this is where I get to play armchair psychologist, and someone really should shut me down at this point. So, when tell me, as using Gestalt therapy, why you feel this way? Why you look up and down? Where do you want to be up? Is it that you want to be look up and down? Why are you doing this? So, when you feel other people are looking at this way, do you feel as though you have something that other women will look at you that way?
Yeah, I feel like in general, I think that from my experiences, so not in general, yeah. From my experiences, I find that women that have been, you know, maybe mean or just not necessarily friendly, I think that there is always an underlining of, you know, jealousy or...
What are they jealous of? I'm legitimately going to try and do Gestalt therapy. What are they jealous of?
You know, whether it's my success with my job or...
Well, how would someone on the street know that you have a successful job?
I'm talking about in more intimate settings, like okay. In the workplace or, you know...
Well, let's focus on this up and down thing. Why are women staring at you then?
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I dress pretty well. So, like, sometimes I just get...
So are they jealous of your clothing?
Maybe, or they're just giving me a dirty look because they are angry at the world and they're seeing this person who's like smiley and walking, you know, down the street, bopping around, and they're just like upset with their life.
Do you feel guilty for being happy?
No, why would I feel guilty?
So then why should you worry if they're looking at you?
I'm not worried about it. I'm just acknowledging that it has happened to me, and that is what I took away from it as. Now, whether or not this person just was pissed off, they just got fired from their job and they walked past me and they just glared at me because they were lost in their thoughts, that also could be a thing. So, you know,
You say that that's what happens to you with your own face, that you're just lost in your thoughts?
Yeah, I have been told by my mother, friends, coworkers that I have resting face, and it's so not intentional.
I am going to censor the word just so you know.
Okay, I'll say RBF. So I have been called out for having RBF, and it's so unintentional because I don't intentionally want to look, you know, mean or, you know, etchy.
So then let me ask you this question again. If it could happen to you, a person who has been proven to be smart enough to tolerate me for a half an hour now, why would you think that there are other people on the planet who are also controlling their face in this very particular, that you're intelligent enough to have this conversation with me, which no one would argue that this is a very...
I think you're, like, psychologically teaching me something. Like, you're, the way that you're, you know, creating all these questions, you're making me realize that maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it was in this particular segment, it was definitely purposeful, but, you know, one of the, because I did say I would use Gestalt therapy, which I understand little of. But
that's really, and the accent, by the way, was just great.
Thank you. My key for German accents is I could do a German accent out here, but I like to swallow my German voice and keep it like all my voices. It's very fun to take. Here's the accent. Cover it in a little bit of pudding. See, now it's down in your throat a little.
Just
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Hello and good evening. This is our presentation of a famous German play, The Boy and the Paintbrush. That's the point of it. You've hit on the whole not putting pudding on your voices. The whole point of the show is to say, are you really thinking about it? I do very little on the show other than say, well, explain what you mean to me. Explain what you think about it. I don't think people are looking at you in any way. Let's go from my expertise. You look at actors, it takes them years to be able to control their face fully. They make faces they're not used to. They have to jump in the air, and their character has to be a character that is not stressed by jumping, yet their knee hurts them. They have to learn to mastering the face is one of the hardest organs in the one of the hardest muscle groups in the world to master. It's incredibly difficult. And so to think that people are going around shaping their face at you and consciously having this reaction to you, most people can't even see 10 feet in front of their face. They can't. Yeah, that's maybe, why we have glasses.
Maybe the imaginary dirty look is just someone that needs like their vision checked and everything's blurry, so they're just like trying to like see.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking that, but you're now seeing these possibilities. Like, that certainly has been a legitimate theory in the world of behavioral problems. We've seen that a lot of these people with school behavioral problems can't see, and so therefore they can't read, and therefore they act out. And yeah. So these are all legitimate things.
You're, like, talking about my childhood now. Like,
oh, so is it maybe that people, you know, look, the point is I think you got to look at what you're seeing in it. You're seeing this thing of people being jealous of you. I don't know, you know, where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say, like, now that I'm thinking about it, jealous is the wrong word. I think maybe people see someone on the street and maybe they're more curious.
I think they're just looking. I think there's nowhere to look. And your thing walking at them, and they're not, people don't think that much. They really don't. They don't think that much. They can't react that quickly. That most people just are tired. We're all tired. We're not trying to say anything mean. Just please be cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.